Right, we're going to stand to read the Word of God, okay, in our strongest, robust, excited voices, all from DUMC. Amen? Come, let's stand to read together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22, 25, okay? All right, first passage of Scripture, chapter 4, verse 1, and then after this, okay? Two passages of Scripture from the NIV, the never incorrect version of the Bible. Okay, together. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when the eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Second one, Colossians 4:1 again. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Finally, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16 together. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in a universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Father, we ask, O God, you by your Spirit who has inspired this word, take your word and speak and challenge us, Father, we pray, and draw us all in response, O God, we ask, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Would you take your seats? Well, this call to the marketplace, three young boys got together, 10-year-old, proudly boasting about their father's call to the marketplace. The first one, okay, a 10-year-old boy stood up on the stool and said to the other two friends, you know what, my father actually works as a doctor, in fact, as a surgeon, and when he does surgery for 2 hours, he gets paid 10,000 ringgit. Well, the other two boys clap, 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 fantastic. The second boy got on a stool and said, you know what, your father works as a doctor, my father works as a lawyer. He argues for just 1 hour, he gets paid also 10,000 ringgit. My goodness, the other two clapped together. The third one, boy got up on the stool. You say, you know what, my father actually works as a pastor. He needs to preach only for 30 minutes, and when he takes a collection, it requires six people to carry the money for him. What, not bad to be a pastor, isn't it? All right. Then also, as we always know, ladies love to boast about their children. All the ladies say, okay, not very convincing, ladies. Pray for the ladies here. Ladies love to boast about their children, incident. So three ladies got together, and this one of them first said, you know what, actually, I come from a Catholic church, all right? In fact, my son is a priest in a Catholic church, and whenever he walks by, all the parishioners say, oh, Father, fantastic. Second lady got up and said, you know what, actually, I come from an Anglican church. In fact, my son, you know, he's a bishop of the Anglican church. And whenever he walks by, everybody will say, oh, my Lord Bishop. Fantastic, right? There's two ladies. Third one got up and said, you know what, actually, I come from a Methodist church. Unlike your son, a priest, your son, a bishop, my goodness, my son is only 21 years old. But when he dresses real smart and walks by, all the ladies say, oh, my God. Okay. Say to your neighbor, it's good to belong to the Methodist church, by the way, isn't it? And that's what it is, all of us proudly boasting, isn't it, about the call of God upon our lives in a workplace, in a marketplace, and all this is. But friends, you know, before we talk about our call to the marketplace, you and I didn't know what is the call of the marketplace. Before being called to, what is the call of the marketplace? Three areas, you notice, friends, for all of us, it is the greatest mission field on earth. The greatest mission field. Why is it the greatest mission field? What? Before that, okay, you find it is sometimes known as the 9-to-5 window. What is it called, the 9-to-5 window? There are notes in your bulletin, I think, and fill it in if you like to. 9-to-5 window, because you start work at 9 o'clock, finishes at 5 o'clock. Because some of us, my goodness, 9-to-9. Some of us, 9-to-midnight. Okay, 9-to, God knows, whatever hour these people come back from the work. One of them said to me, Pastor, my son comes back only 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm going to kill that company and the employer, that kind of thing. And it's sad, it's tragic, but generally it is 9-to-5. It makes no sense. And because it is a marketplace, as we all know, this is also where most people are, all right? If we include the educational institutions, it will be roughly about 65% of a country's population will be out there in a marketplace at work, okay? From the ages of something of 20, 21, all the way to 65, as if you take retirement for their age like this. So a huge portion of a nation's population is out there, okay, in a marketplace, in a workplace. And that's why, friends, you know, that is the greatest mission field on earth of every nation that you and I know like this. Not only, friends, you notice the marketplace is the greatest mission field. The marketplace is also, friends, the greatest opportunity for believers. Why is it the greatest opportunity for believers? We find that that's where believers are scattered, isn't it? Where most of our people, all right, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we are scattered in all these kind of places, isn't it? Just give an example. Sports. I've just started a 9th mentoring group of sports people in Malaysia. People played for Malaysia in sports, whether in badminton, in football, in golf, and whatever else, that kind of thing. And you know what? We got footballers representing Malaysia here in DUMC. And they've been coming here for a few years. You know where they met each other? They met each other in a toilet. Friends, toilet is a great place to meet. Amen. And toilets are very important because it's the second most visited place next to the auditorium. Amen. Hey, you go to the toilets or not? I'm surprised, I'm shocked. That's why, friends, you know, DMC's toilet is really well designed. All the toilets in churches all over the world, including all airports and hotels, designed wrongly. And you go to DMC's toilet, try it out and see. It's designed very well. Okay, no time for me to talk about this. Another session, I will teach how to design toilets, by the way. Okay, it's a great place to be. In fact, toilet is so good, I've even led someone to faith in Christ in DMC's toilet. Okay, what do? Okay, do evangelism now. Hello? Okay, and ladies, you've got so much more time to do evangelism in the toilet, by the way, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, we met each other just in the toilet, bump into each other, and notice that, my goodness, we are here worshiping the Lord. But, friends, we got Christian sports people, all right, in different sports, okay? And you and I, friends, need to use that platform, that avenue available to impact, influence people of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? What a joy, what a blessing, what a privilege, isn't it, to be able to do so like this. And that's what it is, friends, because believers are scattered in all kinds of domains and realms. You and I really, friends, you know, all right, got to use this opportunity to be bear witness for Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why, friends, Billy Graham says this like this. I believe one of the next great moves of God is going to be through believers in a workplace. The great next great move, if not the greatest move of God, which is going to take place in a marketplace, in a workplace, isn't it? And that's why those of us in a workplace, marketplace, you play a crucial role in this regard here, in fulfilling God's call upon your life, really, which is, I think, so, so important, isn't it, for all of us. Not only, friends, the marketplace is the greatest mission field on earth. The marketplace is also the greatest opportunity for us as believers. But thirdly also, friends, you know, the marketplace, you and I notice, is the most pervasive, and therefore, you and I can have the greatest influence and impact. Why? Because when the marketplace is doing well, it affects communities, the city, the nation, the families as well. Okay, it's impacted in a process like this, isn't it? All right? And so the marketplace, friend, touches practically every domain of human society. That's the reason why Neil Johnson says this, right, like this, okay? He says about the marketplace, perhaps the only institution that touches directly or indirectly virtually every person on planet Earth. In one way or another, it is a pervasive part of every society, culture, and people group. It is found in the midst of every religion and every political system in every historic era. And so, friends, because of the pervasiveness, therefore, friends, you know, the impact, influence will be huge, will be enormous, isn't it? And that's why, church, you and I are going to maximize our time, right, in a marketplace. Can a good amen for that, isn't it? I trust this is a case for all of us, okay? Can a good amen again for that? Hey. This is an underwhelming response, okay? All right? But friends, it is very important to interact like this. If that's a call of the marketplace, greatest mission field, greatest opportunity, most pervasive, therefore, in the process, what is therefore God's call to us to the marketplace? What is God's call upon each one of us, all right, to the marketplace like this? Various areas of God's call, you and I must understand. Firstly, friends, God's call to us is as a servant of the Lord, all right? As a servant of God. Very, very important for us. Why? Because Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24 says this. Come, let's read again. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with the eyes on you and to win the favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Friends, there in our workplace, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just serving our boss, employer, okay? We're not just serving the owner of the company. All right, we are serving, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not even there serving, all right, for the sake of pay and perks and promotion, that kind of thing, friends. Ultimately, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen for that? So important, isn't it? So whether the boss is around or not around, we give our very best, isn't it? Because why? We want to really honor God in every way indeed. And that's why Paul writes like this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Come, let's read together. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do must be done to God's glory, isn't it? Therefore, we want to be the best of servants, friends. And so it's sometimes, church, can I say, it is a shame to hear sometimes of reports coming back to me, so-and-so is a Christian, he or she is a bad worker. It's a tragedy, friends, all right, to hear this kind of report coming back. You say, he's a bad worker in a company, all right? This should never be the case for every one of us. Why? Because there we really want to honor God. We want to glorify God. You notice here, friends, in whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. So, friends, you know, work is an act of worship. In fact, the word worship and work in the Old Testament is the word avodah in Hebrew. And the word avodah actually means worship. And so work and worship goes together, friends. And that's why it's so important, friends. Our work is an act of worship to God, and surely we're going to really honor God, isn't it, in worship like this. And that's why there is a lady who puts a plaque in a kitchen sink, and the plaque there says, divine worship is carried out 3 times a day here. What is it? When is it? It is when she washes up after breakfast, after lunch, after dinner. There, friends, you know, she is really carrying out divine worship to God, right, in the act of washing up, isn't it? Some of us, when assigned to wash up, we are so upset and angry, we bang the forks and spoons and all kinds of noise will come from the kitchen, isn't it? What a tragedy, isn't it? When we really respond and behave and work like this. In fact, I tell this to all kinds of people in whatever professions they are in. In fact, I was recently invited to speak to some members of the parliament as well as state assembly. All right. 2 years ago, I was invited to speak to the same group. This time again, they invited me to speak to them. And I said, you know, after I spoke to you first time 2 years ago, now you're elected into power. Okay. Now you ask me to come back. Maybe you should invite me more often. You'll remain there to serve. So I said to them, you know what? Let me speak about politics and nation building, since you're all politicians. Okay. Some of you might know, if not for the Christian ministry, I've gone to the politics. All right, but you know why I remain in the Christian ministry? Because we are Christian ministers, more powerful than politicians, and all the Christian ministers say, amen. Wow, fantastic. All right, I like that. Yeah, I said to these politicians, we are more powerful than you all. Why? Because there's one thing we can do, you all cannot do. And that's the most important, most powerful. They said to me, what is it we cannot do? 30 politicians came here one Sunday, all right, hosted them, accompanied by the Deputy Minister of Finance, okay? And I said to them, if not for Christian ministry, I've gone to politics, but I remain. Why? Because we're more powerful than all of you. There's one thing we can do, you cannot do, and it's the most important. They say, what is it we cannot do? We can do everything, including arresting you, all right? Where's the problem? Provided we're not taken in for our foolishness, our wrongs, our sin, our crime. La. If you go in for Jesus' sake, go in, la. Hello? Why? Because there's free food, free housing provide for you. What more do you want, isn't it? And then you can do evangelism inside prison. Okay, what a joy, what a blessing. And start a church and appoint yourself as a pastor inside prison and get everybody else converted, isn't it? Okay, what a privilege to be able to do so. Why? Because now our cell ministry are all pseudo cell ministry. In prison, you and I are doing real cell ministry. Amen, isn't it? All right, reach out to witness many people. But really, I said, the reason why is this, the Christian ministry, we all are more powerful than you all. One thing we can do, you cannot do. Why? To change your human heart. I said, you cannot do it. You can't change this. Malaysia is one of the harshest laws in the world about drug trafficking, as we all know. Just 15 grams of heroin, if you're convicted, Malaysia hangs you. And yet you and I know, drug trafficking in Malaysia, for that matter, around the world, is out of control, isn't it? It's totally out of control. And so I say, laws and harsh laws like here in Malaysia doesn't change people. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people. Can a good amen for that? And that's why, friends, you and I, okay, have got the secret, the key to the transformation of the lives of people and our nation, and for that matter, all nations of the world. Isn't it? So I say to them, friends, you know, as I speak to you all, please remember, now that you're in power, please remember you are servants of the Lord in our nation. You are not bosses. You and like me, we're together serving the interests of the people and our nation here in Malaysia. Amen. That's the role and responsibility of politicians, not to exploit it and take advantage for themselves and for all their friends and khakis and relatives around. We're here to serve, like all of us, friends, we are servants of the Lord in all the places where God has put us in. And all God's people say, it's very important. Not only we are servants, friends. Secondly, we find that we are stewards as well. Not only we are servants of the Lord, but we are also stewards for God as well. Right? In where, whatever God has put us in. And so that's how Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 25, verse 14 and then 19 to 21. Okay, come, let's read together. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. You see, in this parable that Jesus talks about, all right, the master here comes along referring to God, referring to Jesus. He comes along, he entrusted one servant with 5 talents, second one with 2 talents, the third one with 1 talent. And he says, go, all right, as I entrust this to you, go, okay, and really make use of it. And so the 5, all right, the one given 5 talents, when the master came back, said, I'll produce 5 more. The one with two talents produced 2 more, but the one with 1 talent, he hid away, all right? And when the master came back, the master gave him a thorough scolding and said, you foolish servant, you could have put at least in a bank to accrue interest. Why do you bury it away? What is the thing that Jesus is trying to tell all of us, friends? The thing is this, whatever we have, we own, is a trust from God. We are entrusted like the servants to steward whatever resources, gifts, and talents that God has given to us and steward it well indeed to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Very, very important. Okay, whatever we have, it's a trust from God. So if God has blessed you with a lot of money, remember, friends, it's a trust from God to steward it well, because God will hold us accountable one day when we stand before the throne of grace, isn't it? He will judge us accordingly in how we really, friends, steward, okay? We really go about handling, okay, all that God has blessed us with, isn't it? It's so, so important. The things, whatever we have, is not ours. It's a trust from God. Amen? Hello? Amen? Very, very important. It is like, some time ago, I was introduced to this man, to the audience, to speak. I said, here is so-and-so, all right? He owns actually 2 5-star hotels with a 27-hole golf course and also a marina that can take in 104 yachts and sailing boats, okay? God has used in a wonderful way to bear witness in the marketplace, all right? And so, friends, let's welcome so-and-so. He came forward. He said, friends, thank you, Pastor, for introduction. Thank you, friends, for coming. You know what? Actually, all these things that Pastor talks about, he says, I don't own them. It belongs to God. I'm only a steward entrusted with this responsibility to make sure I steward all these things well. And he's got it absolutely right. Hello? Yeah. Why are you so quiet today? Are you my friends or not? Okay, isn't it? Yeah, he got it absolutely right, isn't it? And it's so important that whatever we have, we own, is a trust from God. So our work is a trust from God. We make sure, friends, we do our work well, isn't it? We do our very best in our work so that we prove to be trustworthy at the end of it all. They're so critical, so important, isn't it? For all of us, friends, all right? Reminds me of someone from DUMC who was speaking to a meeting of business leaders. And he says, you know what? Because we're all Christians, I think it's important for you and I to tithe, isn't it? To tithe whatever God has blessed us with. And tithing, as we know, you're taught well in UMC, tithing is a 10%. But the Bible does not only talk about tithes. The Bible talks about offerings as well. And offerings is on top of the tithes, isn't it? And so he says to the crowd, at least you know, friends, it is important for you and I to tithe, because the first 10% belongs to God. It is holy to God, isn't it? So don't touch it. It belongs to God, all right? You can keep the 90%, but make sure you steward it well. Steward rightly and properly to honor God, because all of it actually belongs to God. But must tithe. You know, one of the well-known tycoons came up to him and said, brother, it is very easy for you to say, all of us must tithe. You know what? How much will it cost me to tithe? For you, it's very easy. But for me, you know how much will it cost me to tithe? Thank God he didn't say that to me. Otherwise, I'm going to slap him. Don't slap people. Okay? I would say to him, what rubbish are you talking about? You talk as if all this is yours. All this is yours. I would say, my friend, it's not yours. It is God's. Isn't it? It is God's. So nothing to do about you. It is whether you're faithful or not. Isn't it? And God will hold you responsible one day when you stand before his throne to judge us whether we are faithful or not in stewarding all that God has given to us. Isn't it? So it's not yours. The way we talk and say it is, give another example. Honestly, one of the younger CEOs that I mentor, met up with him, chat, talk, and that kind of thing. You know, his company has really been blessed by God. Okay, it's just so much. It's just unbelievable. He said, Pastor Dan, you know what? My company today is worth so much. We're soon going into this kind of bracket, kind of thing. Pastor, you know what? I can sell off my company anytime to move to Australia, bring my family, okay, and settle down in Australia and live happily ever after. I say, my friend, the way you talk, you think that company is yours. You can do anything you want, even relocate and move to Australia and settle there happily ever after. You know, I'm going to nail you and talk to you nicely so that you will not be settling happily there ever after. You'll be settling there happily never after. Listen, because we think, friends, the companies we have, we own is ours. It's not. It belongs to God. Hello? Are you there, isn't it? Whatever we have, it belongs to God. It's a trust from God, isn't it? And so therefore, if God has blessed us with a lot of wealth, friends, it shows how much God trusts us. Seriously. All right? But it's not amount that matters. It's how we steward it. Because sometimes some of us don't have a lot, but we don't steward it well as well, isn't it? We don't. And so large or small, it does not matter. Friends, the important thing is that we steward it well. Tell a good amen for that. So for 5 talents, expect more. 2 talents, expect right. 1 talent, also Jesus expects us. And that's so critical and important for all of us. Not only, friends, we are to be servants and the best of servants, I trust. Secondly, we are stewards and the best of stewards in all the resources that God has given us in our workplace, in our role, in our work responsibilities. Thirdly, friends, okay, as a standard bearer for the Lord, you and I need to bear a standard, like flying the flag, as it were, that this is the way indeed to do things like this. Look at how Paul writes like this, Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, come together again. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, in which you shine like stars in the universe, friends. That's the call of God. All right, to be a standard bearer in our place of work and responsibilities, isn't it? So that we really stand up, holding up, friends, you know, the light of Christ, isn't it? Holding up in a wonderful way, the star of God, so that we really shine, okay? And be a real standard bearer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust, I pray this is the case, friends. Wherever you are, in a workplace, in a marketplace, I trust that you will be a real standard bearer, isn't it? All right, for Jesus Christ, in a work, wherever you are, where God has put us in. Give you an example. There's someone from UMC who has been posted to China. Actually, he works for Katsana, okay, the main investment arm of the government. And so what happens was 2005, he was posted by Katsana to China to head up the office in China, all right? And so Ben from UMC posted there, okay, and he was given US $70 million to invest, all right, to grow the thing. And this is what Ben writes. Okay, let me read to you what he says here. Okay, in mid-2005, I joined Katsana and was tasked to build Katsana's China business from ground zero up. The initial capital was US $70 million investment, which we took and invested in late 2005. That basically was reinvested many times over, so that by the time I left in March 2018, 13 years later, it is now today worth US $5.5 billion. Build it up, okay, to that level. Whilst the amazing returns in excess of 78 times over the 13-year period is impressive by any standard, it is actually done by God's amazing grace that all this is achieved without a single deal that lost money. We are, after all, talking about China, cowboy country. Okay? Indeed, God taught me many lessons through the experience in China. 3 of the most important ones are, firstly, humility, secondly, God's faithfulness, and thirdly, living in God's purpose. That's what it is, friends, isn't it? Who stewarded it so well, all right, so that he becomes a standard bearer for Jesus Christ in Katsana. So much so that, friends, you know what? When a chief risk officer from Katsana went to vet his operation, all right, the chief risk officer told Ben, I'm going to use your operation here as a benchmark to vet all other Khazanah officers around the world. What a delight, what a joy to hear something like this. And he did so well, as a result, okay, a couple of years ago, the government of Malaysia to the Agong, the king conferred upon him the Datukship, okay, to appreciate him for his contribution to the country, all right? Sadly, Ben has moved on now. He heads up the investment fund for Ontario, a teacher's pension fund, which is US $150 billion. He's giving that amount of money to invest. Of course, probably a third of it will end up here in Asia like this. But friends, you know, this is a kind of trust. This is a kind of stewardship. This is a kind of standard bearing. You and I, we pray by God's grace, will be able to fulfill. And all God's people say, so important, isn't it, in this regard like this. Not only, friends, you know, we ought to be servant, we ought to be steward, we ought to be standard bearers, but fourthly and finally, you and I ought to be shepherds of the Lord. Shepherds of the Lord in the marketplace. All right? And that's how you notice when Dr. Luke puts it for us in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. Okay, come, let's read together. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You see what happens? Paul led Lydia, this businesswoman, to the Lord. And when she was led to the Lord, and she and the whole family baptized, they were so touched. Now they want to really care for Apostle Paul and his team and their needs, isn't it? So they offered hospitality. Come, let me and let us serve you. Let us bless you. Let us take care of you. And that's what shepherding is all about, isn't it? Friends, you know, you and I are called to be shepherds in our workplace. We are not there just to work our best and work really hard. Friends, you know, you and I, in the same way as those of us who are pastors, we're shepherding you all. You are also shepherds there in the workplace. In fact, you are really pastors in the workplace. And so therefore, to all the CEO groups that I mentor, younger ones, older ones, okay, one of the sessions I told them at the end, you know, from today onwards, I commission your pastor so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, all right? And the younger group, I said, today I commission you a Pastor Lionel, Pastor Edmund, and so-and-so forth like this. Now go, okay, and make a mark and a difference and shepherd those under your charge. Now why is this? See, in the case of a shepherd, it is caring for people around you, isn't it? Your colleagues, your staff, your employers, if you are an employee, caring for your supervisor, caring for your employers, whoever else around you is. That's our job, friends, you know. All right? We are more than just servants and stewards at standard. You and I must be servants of the Lord. Sorry, must be shepherds of the Lord in our workplaces. All right? Isn't it? Take time to care for them. Take time to hear their stories. Take time to love them as well, isn't it? Because when you and I do that, friends, your colleagues will open up to you. And that's where, friends, you become a blessing, a help, a support, an encouragement, isn't it? And it's so critical, friends, for you and I to understand that, friends. You know, I trust this is the case. Never forget, you and I are shepherds there, okay? Literally playing the role of a pastor in our workplace, friends. Give an example. A former CEO of Adidas, I'm sure you all know Adidas, okay? The sports and apparel company. A former CEO by the name of Eric Stamminger, to reading Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. How many of us read that book, Purpose Driven Life? Okay, if you're not read it, friends, get a hold of it. It's one New York Times bestseller. Okay, it's blessed millions and millions of people around the world like this. And one day he was given that book, and he read that book. And you know what happens? After reading that book, he was so impacted by the book, he became a Christian. He gave his life to Christ. All right? And then you know what? He managed to connect with Rick Warren, and they met up, okay? And Eric Stamminger shared with him the story. He said, you know, thank you, Pastor Warren. Your book is just amazing, amazing. It has really touched and changed my life. I'm so convinced now, I want to resign and go for theological training and become a pastor. Wow. How many of us would like to do that? Don't put our hands up. And Rick Warren said to him, you know, Eric, thank you so much. Okay, for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I thank God. God has used my book to impact your life. Really, thank you. I appreciate you for that. Okay, and Eric, by the way, okay, what is the workforce of Adidas? Well, he says globally, we got 25,000 workers. 25,000 workers. And Rick Warren said this to him, Eric, for goodness sake, stay on Adidas because you're a pastor of a mega church of 25,000 people. Amen. Isn't it? And so for many of you, remain where you are, because there you are pastoring the people in charge of responsibility. There you are pastoring your colleagues or even your supervisor, whoever. Isn't it? It's so, so important. Isn't it? I thank God the wisdom God has given the Pastor Rick to tell him, please don't resign. Stay on there and be influenced and impacted. What amazing change and transformation you can be, really, right, in that regard like this. And so, friends, you know, there is not only a call off the marketplace, the call to the marketplace. Finally, friends, the challenge of the marketplace. What is a challenge, right? To us all as Christians, what are challenges that you and I must respond to? The first challenge, friends, is as a compass. You and I must act as a moral compass wherever God has put us in, isn't it? And so that's why Jesus says like this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Come, let's read together. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine, isn't it? In other words, friends, like a compass that will always point to true north, you and I must set, okay, everything towards the right path, right direction, right way of doing things, isn't it? All right? We are like moral compass in our workplaces, friends. Very important. Right? If we are not there at work, if we are in our home, we should be a moral compass in our home, moral compass likewise in our neighborhood, which is, I think, so very, very important, pointing people in the right way. And I trust, friends, right, this will be the case for all of us, okay, in our workplaces, friends. When people look at us, they will say, if you want a good example to follow, follow so-and-so. And I trust, friends, that person comes from UMC. All quiet now. Okay? Give you one example. There is this lady, she made a mess in her work. And she knew she's in big, big trouble. Not only should be fired. Not only should be fired. The consequences are unimaginable. And she was filled with fear coming to work. Her immediate supervisor, soon after that, went to see the CEO and said to the CEO, you know, sir, you and I know what has happened, the mess we are in. Of course, you also know, I believe it's been reported to you, that so-and-so make a huge mistake. And the supervisor said to the CEO, sir, you know what? Yes, she made a mistake, but I want to let you know, I take responsibility for her mistake because I believe I did not teach her well, and that's why she fumbled and made that kind of mistake. Sir, I take responsibility for it. Eventually, when the news got back to her, she was stunned. She was shocked. And so therefore, she talked to the supervisor. Sir, why do you do this? You know, it's my fault, my mistake. Why do you do this? No, because I'm your supervisor, I should take responsibility. But sir, no. Why do you do it? Because why? All the previous jobs I hold, okay, whenever I do right, the supervisor claim credit. Whenever I do wrong, all the blame that I get. I will never, forever, ever once, okay, my supervisor takes the blame for it. All the credit he takes, the blame comes to me. But you know, you are unusual, okay? Why is it? Why do you do it? Press him? No, I'm just supposed. Until she pressed him so hard, that what happened is, if actually I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian. Which church you go to? Do you MC? Okay. Not do you MC, by the way. You know what? That lady ended up in church, that church, and became a Christian. And that story was told by she herself to the senior pastor of the church. Sir, pastor, that's how I ended up here, because of this man who comes to your church, whose example and witness is impeccable, that I so appreciate that. Friends, I trust this is the case for us as compass. Give you another example. How many heard of Enron scandal, the Enron scandal 2001? Isn't, all right, many of us in the business world, you heard about it. At the peak of Enron, year 2000, how much it was worth? US 70 billion. Of course, not a lot nowadays, but in those days, all right, almost 20 years ago, it's a lot, one of the humongous energy company actually in the world. But what happens was, sadly, during that period, in the late 90s and year 2000 and 2001, sadly, they started cooking the books. They started messing around with figures, right, of their accounts, declaring profits that's not true. Total lies, actually. So much so that one of the vice presidents in the company, by the name of Sharon Watkins, she eventually made an appointment to see the chairman of Enron, set her down in August 2001. and said to him, "Sir, you can't do this." And let me read maybe her exact words that she wrote, all right, in this incident here, to help us to appreciate the pressure she herself went through, knowing it will not be one where she'll risk her job. She might be attacked, and her own life and security might be endangered. But this is what she wrote after the whole incident was over. She said, "When I met with the chairman at Enron in August 2001 to warn him of accounting irregularities in the company, of all the irregular things regarding accounting in a company, I was worried about how my message was received and whether I would be able to keep my job. I had to rely on my faith as a Christian that August. My warnings were somewhat ignored. The accounting structures I was concerned with became public knowledge in October 2001, and the company declared bankruptcy within 6 short weeks later in early December 2001. Since it was such a large company and had gone bankrupt so quickly with barely a whiff of financial bad news, over 13 congressional investigations were convened to determine the cause. In mid-January 2002, a congressional staffer found my now famous memos in a box of subpoenaed documents and in a short order make those documents and my name public, known to the press. It was an unsettling time. The morning after the disclosure, I woke up to camera crews surrounding my whole house. My hands were shaking. I was so nervous about the situation. I picked up my Bible and opened by chance to Hebrews chapter 12, the first 3 verses that says, 'Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.'" What perfect scripture for me to read that morning to encourage me. I was still employed at Enron while the bankruptcy was underway. I made it past the camera crews with long, fuzzy microphones on long poles and with my head swimming, went to the office that morning. At noon that day, I attended a luncheon sponsored by the Professional Women's Fellowship. The speaker got up and began to read her speech with the same scripture that I just read that morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I found myself in tears. I had thought my work was done. I reported the problem to those in charge in the hope of saving the ship. It had now sunk. What more was there for me to do? The scripture twice in that one day seemed to be telling me there was more to come. Well, there was indeed long stretches of congressional testimonies, both in the House, all right, of Representatives as well as the Senate. Seemingly endless media attention, 5 years of civil shareholder litigation, and finally, my testimony at the criminal fraud trials of the chairman and the CEO that have appeared. The CEO was sentenced to 25 years and 4 months in prison. The chairman, just before sentencing, supposed to go for 45 years, got a heart attack and died. What a clever way of dying. The accounting firm involved in it, Arthur Anderson, one of the big fives in those days, went down. Of course, they're trying to resurrect to this day. But what a tragedy, involving shredding all the documents, trying to hide all the evidence. But friends, the key is this, for all of us. Let's not exchange our character for cash. Let's not exchange our character for cash. And this is one important mathematical equation. Use it, no copyright involved. Character minus cash equals catastrophe. Hello, you got it? Let me repeat, okay? Character minus cash, in other words, character without cash equals catastrophe, equals disaster, friends. Sometimes we may do something nobody knows. We've forgotten. God knows, isn't it? We've forgotten, God knows. And you know what? We may do something, get away with it. But friends, the stain remains in our life. The stain remains in our character. It's not worth it at all. Not worth it at all, friends, can I say? Better to lose our job, better to be fired, better keep our character integrity, friends, then we walk tall and high, knowing that God will be with us each step of the way. Can I get amen for that? That's the first thing, friends, as compass. Let me move on very quickly. Secondly, friends, okay, and this is what Sharon Watkins is, all right? Sharon Watkins, the lady on the left, formerly from Enron. She was voted as Time Magazine of the Year with two other whistleblowers, okay? Colleen Rowley and that of Cynthia Cooper, all right? And so she appeared Time Magazine, okay? At the end of the year 2000, voted as Time Magazine with a Man of the Year award. Thank God this time it's women, okay? And women are very powerful, and all the women say, okay, isn't it? Men better listen very carefully to this, isn't it? And so thank God for people like this who stood firm, refused to compromise, all right, and wouldn't exchange the integrity, the character for cash, isn't it, for all of us. Not only, friends, you know, you and I, friends, as people must be moral compass in our company, all right, in our workplace. Secondly, as companions, right, as companions whereby you and I must learn like the people Berea, okay? So Acts chapter 17, verse 11, together, right, let's read. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. They examined, they learned with great eagerness whether it's true or not, isn't it? And so, friends, I trust likewise in our workplaces that we will want to learn, want to grow, want to improve, want to become better workers for the Lord, isn't it? I'm so glad to hear someone, a CEO here, all right, in our church, and he was telling me, I signed up for an MBA program for top executives, okay? And it's so good to hear that, isn't it? All right, because when you're willing to grow, wanting to learn and grow, it means what happens? You want to share your knowledge with as many people as well. Together we move on to another level, isn't it? And that's what we seek to do, friends, for all of us like this, right? Learning to grow, be companions one another, right, in our growth journey with your colleagues, your friends, okay, and everybody else around. Thirdly, friends, okay, as comrades, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, together, friends, let's read. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, friends, in our workplaces, there are spiritual battles involved. There are all kinds of things involved. For example, right, how many of us experience politicking, backbiting, backstabbing, right, isn't it? Some not telling the truth with one another, isn't it? And friends, these are spiritual forces at work, isn't it? And sometimes beyond the spiritual forces at work like this in our relations with one another, there are other spiritual forces at work. I remember once I was asked to go down to Bangsa area to pray for this office. Wonderful office. Went to pray, all right, because the owner is a Christian. Pastor, can you pray? I said, sure. Okay, and I went there, walk around. Before I pray, and I talked to one or two of the staff, one of the Malay staff said to me, you know, hey, Padri, okay, Pastor, you know, here in our office, that door move by itself. Like they move by itself. You know, when it comes to 5 o'clock on the dot, all of us cannot wait to run home, get out from the office. All kinds of weird phenomena taking place. Friends, when you are from UNC, hear that kind of story, we're excited because why? Our ghost-busting instinct comes into play right away. It's all the ghostbusters say, we cannot wait to go and pray for things like this and command and cast out all these in Jesus' name, isn't it? Why? Because as Christians, we've got authority, okay, and the power from Jesus Christ to do so, have no fear, isn't it? Another time I was invited to pray for this project, Bukit Antarabangsa, a huge development project. Why? Because that project has caused quite a number of lives. Lightning will strike that place. All kinds of weird phenomena will take place. Pastor, can you come pray? Oh, sure. Of course, I'll go. So I went to where I pray. As I walk around, before I pray, and some of the Malay staff say, mana itu kambing? Where is the goat? Why? Because from their perspective, must slaughter a goat and scatter the blood around. You see? For example, tapaya, no, we know the blood, just the blood of Jesus is good enough. Amen, isn't it? In Jesus we pray to break all these kind of evil forces at work and all kinds of accidents that will take place in. We must not be afraid, friends, isn't it? And so we know the spiritual forces at work, and sometimes colleagues in a workplace, bosses in a workplace will dabble in evil spiritual powers. There's one boss, talked to him. Wait. He went to the back. You know what he was doing? He was trying to feed his guai chai, small little demons. That's in his company. I mean, it's crazy. Because why? He hopes to tap into these forces to give him power to protect his company, do all kinds of stuff, isn't it? So that's why, friends, you and I must go in the workplaces to pray. Amen? All right, that we are truly comrades battling with forces of evil and darkness, whatever. Finally, friends, you and I ought to be communicators, indeed. Communicators of the gospel in our workplace. And that's how Paul puts it like this, Philippians 2, verse 16. As you hold up the word of life, in all I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Hold up the word of life, isn't it? You and I must hold up the message of Christ, all right, in our workplaces as communicators of the gospel. And that's how, friends, Apostle Paul writing to Philemon says like this in chapter 1, verse 6, all right? Let's read the final passage together in our loudest, robust voices together. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. All right? We have been blessed enormously, wonderfully as God's people, and all God's people say, amen, is a wonderfully blessed thing. All right? Amazing, the blessings upon our lives. How many of us, we come from non-Christian backgrounds? See your hands. How many of us come from non-Christian backgrounds? Is it? Amazing, amazing majority of us, including myself, all right, coming from a Buddhist background. Knowing Jesus is so very good. How can we not share with people around us, especially our colleagues, isn't it, and our friends around us? And so important, isn't it? Make Jesus known. Why? Because when we do that, friends, we become the greatest of friends to these people. Why? Because we make an eternal difference in the lives of our colleagues and our friends, our neighbors around. We make an everlasting difference. See? All right, let me close with this. Flew back from overseas, okay, and was soon after taken to speak at the PJ North 3 Zone camp that was held in Port Dickson. And so when I was there, okay, that first evening dinner, I took my food, and one of the hotel staff came to me and said, Pastor, there's a table reserved for you. I was shocked. I said, how come he knows me that I'm a pastor? Is the table reserved for you? So, okay, after I went up towards him, I said, hi, what's your name? Toh. Good to meet you, Toh. How come you're not a pastor? Yeah, I think I know you, lah, because you've been here a few times. I said, really? So, Toh, are you a Christian? He says, no. He says, my sister's a Christian. Not only my sister a Christian, my sister's a pastor somehow. Okay, not yet. My mother's a Christian. I said, what about you? You not. I said, you're in trouble. Your sister, pastor, mother, Christian, you are still not a Christian. Something wrong with you. Okay, all right, talk and share with him. And so I was praying. Because he was doing his work, I didn't want to disturb him, okay? So I was praying, Lord, give me another chance, opportunity to have a closer time with Toh. Next day, I was so pleased, he was operating the gift shop, okay, of the hotel. Doris and I walked in, nobody in the hotel except the two of us. I was so pleased, now no disturbance, okay? Nothing whatsoever around, okay? I can talk, okay? I say, hey, Sister Christian, pastor, mom Christian, okay, I think it's about time you accept Jesus. Is it okay? I want to pray, accept you. He said, okay, just like that. So I led him to faith in Christ, okay, like that. But also, when I was there at the camp, one of the organizers of the camp brought to me the marketing manager of that resort. I said, Pastor, this is so-and-so, okay. I said, great, thank you for organizing all these things for us here to make us feel comfortable in this resort here. Thank you so much indeed. Okay, by the way, Alice, you're a Christian. She says, no, I'm not a Christian. Really? That's fantastic. Out of 7 billion people, God takes you now to meet with me, to share, to talk, to interact. Okay, Alice, no, excellent that I'm here, all right, talking with you and that kind of thing. By the way, I'm from DUMC. Say, oh, you're from DUMC. I've been to DUMC before. So are you a Christian? Not yet. I'm not a Christian. My goodness. Okay, no accident now. Trust in Jesus. Okay, she said, can. Just like that. She might be here this morning, I don't know. All right? Friends, so in that weekend, I led two persons to Jesus Christ. Friends, can I say, there are more people ready to accept the Lord than you and I know. And especially in your workplaces, when you are such a good servant of the Lord, such a wonderful, friends, steward, such a great standard bearer example for Jesus there in the workplace, and such a wonderful shepherd with the heart and care for people, friends. There's no reason why people don't open up to you. And that's where, friends, you pray for them. You share with them. And the greatest good you can do to a colleague of yours, a friend of yours, a neighbor of yours, a relative of yours, is to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ, because then you'll make an everlasting difference, not just on earth, but also in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me pray firstly for those of us who are here. Maybe you have not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're not yet a Christian. And I want to say to you, you are here not just because of invitation of friend or relative. You are here because Jesus, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We are special. All right? There's a love of God. And He wants to step into your life to make an amazing difference, my friend. So you're not a Christian, not yet a Christian today. I want to extend this invitation for you to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Many, many of us have done so. And what an amazing ride of our life we have been experiencing. What an amazing journey. And I assure you, my friend, you'll be blessed richly. You are in for an amazing ride of your life. And so therefore, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you've never done so, at a count of three, wherever you're seated, will you raise up your hand as an indication to God that you like to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior? Is it okay? Very quick. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Can I see your hands? Anyone? Firstly, downstairs. Is anyone? What about upstairs? Is anyone? I want to pray for you to trust in Christ, my friend. I assure you, when you do so, you begin to see the grace of yours, the grace of God upon your life, in your work, in your responsibility, in your home, and everything else. Anyone? Well, I trust we do know Christ as Lord and Savior here this morning. We're going to pray. I'd like to pray for you and later on commission you all in the workplace, into the marketplace again. Why don't we stand together? And we stand together, friends. I want to extend this invitation. Some of us, I just sense we are struggling in our workplace. We're having difficulties and problems and challenges. Some of us might even be accused of things that we do that we don't do at all. Friends, will you come? We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for God's assurance and peace in your heart. If indeed you are a person of integrity and has been misunderstood or accused wrongly, we're going to pray for you. Some of you are going through real challenges in your life, in your workplace. You're just wanting to resign or not to resign. It's such an unfair place, unreasonable place. As maybe even work hours, you come, we're going to pray for you, my friends, isn't it? And some of you, all right, you're just wanting to change this job or not to change. You come, we want to pray for you as well, all right? Because God will give us peace and assurance in our hearts, in our lives. For some of you, all right, you're going to say, Lord, help me to be a better steward of the resources you're given to me. Help me to steward, okay, all that you've entrusted me well. Okay, my position, my power, my wealth, my everything else. Why? Because we are all stewards of the Lord, friends. So whatever it is, you come, we're going to pray for you, right? Some of you are really under pressure to, all right, such huge pressure to deliver, as it were. They find it is almost crushing. You come as well, friends, we're going to pray for you. Whatever you're going through, at a workplace, marketplace, in a home as well, you come. We've seen yesterday many people responding for prayer. Right, friends, will you come? As the worship team leads us, church, as many, you step all right, up from the seats, come to the front here. Ministry team, here, just pray for you. Up in the gallery as well. Will you come? Staircase on both sides as well. We're going to pray for you, friends. Because I just sense there's a heaviness and burden on the hearts of quite a number of us. All right, because of problems, difficulties, challenges we face in our workplace. And more so in these present economic times, okay, of challenge that we are having. Friends, so whatever it is, church, will you come? Maybe you know someone who are going through it. All right, someone who is going through it, you want to stand on behalf of that person, that colleague, that friend, maybe your boss or whoever, friends, you do come. Some of you, you are pressurized, okay, to be involved in illegal things, pressurized to bribe, pressurized to be involved in corruption. Would you come? We're going to pray for you already, that God will strengthen you, all right, God will affirm you, all right. Some of you maybe have lost a job, you come, we're going to pray for you as well. So church, as many, would you come? As the worship team leads us, just come, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Step up from seats. We are here to pray, to minister, to be a blessing to each and every one of you, friends. That's what we are. But also, if you're not accepted Jesus Christ, you'd like to come, we'll pray for you. Or renew your faith in Christ, some of you. Renew your commitment to the Lord. Where would you come as well? We're going to pray for you, friends. Release God's grace upon your life. We're here as a family, all right? No shame or shyness whatsoever. We're here to encourage you, we're a blessing to one. So as many of you come, friends, we got fantastic ministry team people, the pastors, the leaders, and they pray for you, friends. Just come, will you? Just as many of you, just keep on coming. All right, we're going to release God's grace upon your lives in a wonderful, wonderful manner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, oh God. Friends, just come. Give my ministry team to come and pray for these people here. We're going to just release God's blessings and grace upon the lives of these precious ones, friends. Will you come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worthy of it all. Spouses, and pray for your spouse's salvation. And some of you face with challenges. Would you come and stand on behalf? We're going to pray. And release God's grace and God's blessings upon you. Just as many friends, would you come? Yeah. And some of you, you've got a deal whether to go ahead or not go ahead with that deal. Will you come for pray for wisdom for you that God will lead and guide you, friends? And some of you, in fact, who are leading your departments or even heading your companies, you need divine wisdom from God. Many of the CEOs I talk to, time and again, they say, Pastor, I need divine wisdom from God to know how to run my company. All right? If you are lacking, you'll come. We're going to pray for you, friends. That God will just release unusual insights and understanding for you, so you know how to lead, how to guide the company, Lord. So we will come. Okay, just as many, very quickly. All right, as the worship team leads us one last time. Ministry team, will you come and pray for these people? Grace upon your life and commission you all into the workplace, into the marketplace, so that you will truly be faithful. You will truly be men and women who will make a mark and a difference. And that God's anointing upon you all, so that you are really, friends, who can become servants and stewards, standard bearers, but also shepherds for the Lord Jesus Christ in the workplace. He will touch hearts and change lives of many and draw many into a kingdom, friends. So, right, church, will you raise our hands? Let me pray. Right, and release an impartation anointing upon you all. Father, I bring to you all these, my brothers and sisters, Lord. Every one of the Holy Spirit, come and fill each one. Fill and empower each and every one of them, Father, I pray, oh God. And enable them, Father, I ask, oh God, to step into the workplace, in the marketplace, oh God. And some of those who are students, into our school, our college, your university, Father, I pray, oh God. And to make a mark and a difference, Father, I pray. Endow each one with wisdom, insights, and understanding. So that, Father, I pray, oh God, they will know how to go about, Father, in their work. As the best of servants, as Father, I pray, the greatest of stewards, oh God, as faithful standard bearers for you, set an example, oh God, as a moral compass for you, Father, I pray. But also, Father, we'll be shepherds, oh God, of those around us, our Father, we pray. So that truly, Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, I pray, Father, we will really be a blessing, a help, oh God, to the company and organizations we work for, the community we are in. Oh God, we pray, Father, likewise, we're a real blessing to our families. So bless all these precious ones, oh God. Release grace and commission them, Father, I pray, to truly, Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, serve you so well. Your name may be glorified. Many be touched, oh God. Your kingdom advance. Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur will never be the same again, Father, I pray. So bless all these precious ones, even all of us who are up here for ministry, oh God, I pray, Father. Those who are unwell, those who are sick, release your healing touch upon them, Father, I pray. Those who are fearful, Lord, intervene, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give them peace and assurance of hearts and lives, Father, I pray. And strengthen us all with a greater resolve to live for you, to honor and glorify your name, oh God, I pray, Father. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, church. Yeah. Come and join us after the Q&A time. Have a great lunch. Come and join us if you can. God bless you otherwise. Okay. Have a great week ahead. We'll see you next weekend.